Today we're starting a new series called Breaking Bad. And when I first, we gather our team about once a month, our creative team, marketing team, we come together and throw out ideas. And I said, I wanted to call the series Breaking Bad. So their first thing was like, you should wear a yellow suit. And anyone who's watched this series, you know, if you haven't watched the series, well, you won't understand what I'm saying. But the second thing that they immediately assumed was that I was going to be speaking on breaking bad habits or breaking bad behaviors. And it's funny, as I look at the mentality of that, it's because we have been almost wired this way, whether it's from our parents or education or religion or society. Stop doing bad, start doing good. And I don't know about you, but I've had experiences where I've been to church or heard sermons, and it's almost about behavior modification. We're giving a more of a list of do's and don'ts, and that's what, in essence, religion is. But as a church, we fundamentally believe not preaching in order to stir up behavior modification, but preaching to see life transformation. That it's our life is transformed by the renewing of our mind, it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that when we see, when we bring ourselves to the Lord and he helps us to change our mind and to change our thinking, in turn, it changes every other area of our lives. But we have the heart and the intent to see life change and to see life transformation. So you will never hear me standing up on this platform and saying, you need to stop doing that, you need to start doing this. It's not about breaking bad habits or behavior. It's about breaking bad thought patterns, breaking bad mindsets, breaking bad processes in our mind and attitudes that we adopt that affects every single area of our lives. And so I'm hoping and praying that this series, this three-week series, helps you how you think about life. It helps you think about how you think about life. It helps you think about how you view your life, how you view yourself, and how you view the world, to break those bad mindsets in our life and instead to learn and adopt biblical mindsets, in which we're going to be looking at over these next 3 weeks. So today and for the next 3 weeks, we're choosing one portion of scripture found in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read it here, and the scripture is going to be on the screen also. But Joshua is the sixth book in the Bible, in the Old Testament, near the front. And Joshua also is the first book in the Bible that's named after the Bible character himself. And in verse 1, it kind of introduces us to this beginning, a new beginning, and this chapter in the lives of the Israelites, in which the Old Testament really is about the life of the Israelites, and the New Testament is about Jesus entering in and seeing this new kingdom coming to form in our world. And in verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun. Now, there is great debate on whether the son of Nun, if Joshua was the son of Nun, in other words, he didn't know who his dad was, or he was Nun's son. So that sounded a lot funnier in my head when I said it first. Was he Nun's son, or was he the father of Nun? I don't know. That's something for you to think about and chew about in these next few hours. But he was Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, his right-hand man. And the Lord said to Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, it sounds like he's pretty to the point. Now then, you and all these people, the people he was about to lead, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. That's a promise from God, not just for Joshua, not just for the nation of Israel, but for each and every one of us. No one will be able to stand against us when the Lord is for us. All the days of our life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. This portion of scripture introduces us to a new leader in the making, and his name was Joshua. And it introduces us as well, also, if you're not familiar with the Bible, to a character called Moses. And Moses, his life is really transcribed in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. And Moses was famous for leading the Israelites out of Egypt, where they were slaves for 400 years. They were in captivity for 400 years. And Moses led them out of Egypt and led them to cross through the Red Sea. And now here they are at the start of the promised land in which God had promised to them. For he said that you will be your own nation in your own land, and you will begin to set foot in the land for which I have given you already. And the name Joshua, the translation of it means the Lord saves. Joshua means the Lord saves. The Greek form of the name Joshua is Yeshua. Yeshua is also the name that is used for Jesus. So in fact, when we look at it theologically, the book of Joshua and Joshua's story as the Lord saves, entering out of captivity into the promised land, really is a foreshadowing of what happened when Jesus came to earth and through the cross and through the death of the cross and the victory over sin and death, he has led his people, us, into the promised land, into the land in which God had promised, for you will be with me for the rest of your days, for eternity, where there is no sin, where there is no shame, where there is no death, where there is no sorrow. And that for us is the promised land. But while we're here on earth, we also can experience God's promises in our lives, and we can experience all the goodness that he has for us. Now, I don't know about you, but what stops me from receiving God's promises, from living and walking in the way that he's called me to be as a man, the calling that he's placed in my life, often is my thinking, is my thought patterns, is the attitudes that I've adopted, rather from the words spoken over me, from the perceptions that I've perceived that others have views of me, or whether it's the mistakes that I committed or whatever it is, but it forms mindsets and a mindset in me that can hold me back from completely pursuing the promise that God has for me. And so over these next 3 weeks, I want to study this scripture and look at how God is calling us to break three mindsets in particular over our lives and to adopt new mindsets. A mindset is an established set of attitudes. It's a thinking pattern. It's a thought process that each of us adopt. It's something that it completely turns on to us. When we're in a situation that we may have been there before, we almost adopt the same mindsets that we had before, which hinders us from truly walking in where God is calling us to. So here's the very first mindset that I want to share with you this morning. Breaking off the mindset of what once was versus what is now. What once was versus what is now. So many of us are still living in what was. What happened? What could have happened? What should have happened? What could have been? What should have been? How things used to be. And I believe from this scripture that as God is calling Joshua to cross over the Jordan River, to cross over, to step into, I believe he's calling us to cross over what was, to step into what's now. That for each and every one of you, that's what God is calling you to do. To let go of what was. To let go of the way things used to be or the way things could have been or should have been and step into what God has for you today. And what God has for you right now. And so this morning, I encourage you, if you want to take some notes, because I want this to be quite practical, to be a teaching that helps you, that maybe it's something that this is not just a sermon for Sunday, this is a sermon for Monday, okay? This is something that you can apply to your life, that you can actually use and adopt, because God knows I've sat through too many sermons, and it's like, what's this guy on about? Like, it's just in one ear and out the other. It was, you know, made you feel good, but didn't do anything for your life. So today, my prayer is that this would help you to break off that mindset and adopt a new mindset. So firstly, in breaking off the mindset and crossing over, it starts with releasing reliance. Releasing reliance. I want you to ask yourself today, what have you been relying on that you need to release? What have you been relying on that you need to release, that you need to let go of, that you need to let die so that you can step into the now, so you can step into the present? What habits do you need to remove? What thought patterns do you need to cut out? What old mindset or behavior do you need to kill in your life? What have you been relying on that you need to release? In verse 1, we've just read that it begins with a funeral. It begins with the death of Moses. And what this represented was the end of an era. It was the end of a season. It marked a new chapter, a new book, a new season. It was the passing of what was. But not only that, when we look into the context of who Moses was and how he had done these great things, it was also the end of the reliance of what was. It was the end of the reliance on Moses. This was the death of a leader, of a mentor, of, in a way, a savior. He had saved them. He had taken them out of captivity. He was a strength and a support, not just to Israel as a nation, but to also as Joshua. Now, Joshua, he had walked at the right hand of Moses for over 40 years. Joshua was a great leader himself who had this great military awareness, great military skills. He knew how to fight, and he knew how to fight well. But he was committed to serve alongside Moses. It says that he was his aide, he was his assistant, he was his right hand who attended to him and obeyed every call and command. And Moses was special to Joshua. He was almost like a father figure. That's why there's great debate if he actually was the father of none, if he had none, no father. But Moses was like a father figure to him. And at this moment in his life, Joshua would have been grieving as you or I would. He would have been mourning. He would have been in a state of sadness. And so with this in mind and with this context in our mind, we read the first words then in a kind of slightly different way. Then we read God's first words to Joshua. It's almost a little bit cold-hearted. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then. You know, we just read as normal, but can you imagine being Joshua in that state? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then. But what God was, I believe, that he's conveying to him and he's conveying to us is now is calling. Now is calling. Step into the now. It's time to focus on the now and to be in the present. And he says, now then, he tells Joshua, get ready to cross. Get ready to move. Be prepared for the opportunity that's going to come his way and the mission that he has to undergo. But here's what's important. His first task was to cross over. His first task wasn't just to cross over the Jordan River. His first task was to release the reliance of what was. Was to release his reliance on Moses so that he could lead the people to cross over the Jordan River into the promised land. His first task before he would, his first obstacle before he would conquer the rest and conquer the land was to first release reliance. So many of us are focused on conquering the rest before we conquer and cross over our first obstacle. So many of us are going to pursue what's next and take our eyes off what's now. So many of us are so focused on where we need to go and what we need to do that we're not first conquering the first obstacle and releasing the reliance of what was, of who I used to be. And what we do is we take our yesterday into today and into tomorrow. We take that reliance on what was and what I used to be and how it, and I tried that before and I used to think like that. And even though, even as Christians, when we come to know Jesus, it says that he gives us a new life. There's new life in him. But so many of us, as we're crossing over, we take our old life with us into our new life. We may change our behavior, which we're told to do as religion, aren't we? Change your behavior, you know, believe and behave, and then you can belong. But really, when you study the scripture, God is calling us to belong, to believe, and then that will change our behavior. He's calling us to release who we were, to release our old self, and to enter into where he's bringing us, to release our reliance on what was. And here's our second thing to step into what's now. Be patient in preparation. Releasing our reliance and being patient in preparation, because it is preparation. It is a process. It doesn't just happen. It's a process. It is gradual. We see here that God has clearly decided to choose Joshua as the next leader of Israel. He's choosing him as the man to carry out this great task in entering into the promised land. God had chosen him and prepared him for this moment. But what's interesting when we look at the life of Joshua, Joshua had spent 40 years on the sidelines. He spent 40 years in preparation. He had great leadership skills. He had great military awareness. He was a fighter. But that's not what the Israelites needed. The Israelites needed a leader who was diplomatic. They had just come out of captivity for 400 years, and they needed a leader who was going to teach them how to live. And we read through Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Numbers, and we see all the rules and the regulations in which Moses had done. He spent the majority of his time sitting down and dealing with people's problems, teaching them how to live. He was a diplomatic leader who sat and judged and helped, and almost like a judge in helping people. He was like a kind and caring pastor, like me. Maybe not like me. But he was a patient man. And while standing close by was Joshua. Joshua was a warrior. He was skilled in the art of war. And now is his time. Now he has been needed. He is needed. What has God been building in you that he's preparing you for this moment? What has God been building in you that he's been preparing you for this very moment? What has he been preparing you for? You know, I believe God's timing is perfect. He has the most perfect timing. And sometimes we're waiting patiently for that time to come. But other times, we're clinging on for dear life, hoping that that time won't come. Hoping that the preparation will continue and that we won't be forced to step out. That we won't be forced to step into what he's been calling us to. So often, we don't feel prepared. Whether we're to make a decision to commit, or to let go, or to take a leap of faith, to go out on our own, to step into our gifts and our callings. And there are many areas of our life where we're living with frustration, where we want to see things happen now. But what I found is this. Then when it comes to the time that we've been waiting for, that we've been praying for, that we've been hoping for, and when that time that we've been preparing for and waiting for and hoping that comes becomes now, something happens into us where we don't want to. We don't want to let go. We don't want to move into that. We don't want to move starting. We don't want to change our mindsets. We don't want to let go of what was and step into us now. Many of us become gripped with fear, become gripped with reluctance, with hesitation, with trepidation. We want to take the opportunity. We want to step out. We want to take that leap of faith, but something is holding us back, convincing us that we're still the same old person. Nothing has changed. You tried that before. You'll never do it. It'll never happen. You'll never be able to succeed. Sometimes it's the voices in our head. Sometimes it's the words spoken over us in the past that's ringing loudly in our voice, in our head. Sometimes it's simply the doubt, the worry, and the what if. You know, for years, I had obsessed over planting this church. For years of praying about it, and Jillian used to be like, would you shut up? You just stop talking about it, you know, at dinner or wherever. I would just, what if we did this or what if we did that? But what was interesting about this time last year when it was coming ready and it was like, now is the time, like this is it, you know, green light, go. I became like somewhat like fearful, where hesitation began to grip me, reluctance, like what if it doesn't work? What if I fail? What if it's not God? What if my family are let down? What if I put my dependence on him and he lets me down? So many of us are waiting for the time to come, but when the time comes, are you going to be ready, as you've been patient in preparation, to step out in the now? When we read this text, you can imagine that this is exactly what's happening in Joshua. He's been prepared for 40 years, but there is reluctance there. There is a reliance there. The NIV translates the original text as now then, but as you read further into it and you study the Amplified Bible, which gives us a more of a broader translation of what's happening, it says, so now arise, take his place. Take your place. The language here, when you look at it, so now arise, and as we read in, where you see God continuously saying to him, do not be afraid, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. So now arise, it conveys to us that Joshua was down. That Joshua had become fearful, that he'd become full of doubt. wondering, would he be able to do this? Worrying, would he have the power and the strength to lead them in? He's possibly also being consumed with mourning and consumed with what if, taking on this great responsibility. What if Moses was still alive? What if he was here? Maybe I should, what would he do? And he's full out of this doubt. And so God says, so now arise. You've been patient in preparation, but it's time for you to take your place and take your right so in that now is the time. It is the moment for which you have been prepared for. And I believe that that's a word for so many of you here today. You've been patient in preparation. Now it's time to step out. Now it's time to start being the man and being the woman that God has called you to be as you've been prepared for this moment. I believe that's a prophecy from God that's speaking into your future. And if that you too would just believe it, step out into it, believe that, you know what, even if I fail, I'm gonna go all in. I got to go for this. I'm either going to go for broke or I'm not going to go at all. Because so many of you are holding on to what was, holding on to the way things have been, and you're trying to carry it into today and carry it into tomorrow. But you need to let go of what was, who you used to be, and step into what God has for you now. Release reliance, be patient in preparation, and thirdly, be focused forward. Be focused forward. I heard someone say this to me recently. It said, you know, vision for our lives is almost like we're driving and we got the car window, and all the only thing that we can see backwards is just this little mirror. This little mirror and just looking us backwards, that we have the context of yesterday, but we're prepared for tomorrow. We're focused forward. We know where we're going. We're focused forward. Joshua, he could have chosen to stay in the place in which he was, forever living in the past, lingering in his grief, feeling down, wondering, what if Moses was still here? Maybe wondering, maybe we could just settle here. Maybe we shouldn't cross the Jordan River. Maybe we should just stay here. Maybe we should just stay put. Maybe this will be more comfortable. But God was trying to snap him out of his backward focus of what once was and what could have been to living in the present and focusing on what is now. Today I want to encourage you. Stop living life looking backwards. Start living life looking forwards. Stop living with your mind in the past and wake up to what God has for you in the present and where he's taking you to in the future. Realize the potential that God has placed on you and seize the moment that he's prepared for you. Realize the potential that God has placed on you and seize the moment that he's prepared for you. And I hear you say already, I can hear the voices from here. Well, Sean, you don't understand. You don't know what it's like. You don't realize how difficult it is for me to just turn my attention over what happened. Turn my attention off in what was. The pain that was caused. The scars that I suffered. The words that were spoken over me. The abuse that I experienced. You don't understand what it's been like to be me. You don't understand the pain that I've gone through. And the truth is, I don't understand. I could never stand up here before today and say, I understand everything. And I've got empathy for you because I understand what it is to suffer, what it is to go through pain. And I don't want to feel like it's like, you know, you just need to snap out of it. You just need to do this. It's a journey. And I'm under no illusion that it takes time. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through, but I do know God. And I've experienced him working in and through my life. I've experienced how I've been unwilling to forgive, holding on to unforgiveness, and he's brought me to a place where I've been able to forgive. I understand what it's like to have bitterness in my heart and for God to remove that. I understand what it's like to have rotten roots that have built up in me over the years that create anxiety, that create fear, that create doubt, that God has had to get his hands and get in dirty into my soul, into my mind, into my thinking, and I've had to go on a journey, and it is painful. It is probably the hardest thing that you'll ever do in life, to cross over what was, to step into what's now. But I do believe that God will give you the strength. I do believe that if it's His voice and He's calling you, He will lead you, He will guide with you, He will walk with you, He will hold you during the painful times, during the suffering. He will be there through your sorrows. He will be there to give you peace. He will be there to give you His grace and give you to His mercy every step of the way. For the life that He has for you is a life that He's calling you to live, is a life full of abundance, full of joy. Because joy is not determined by what we experience or what we feel. Joy is determined by the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Though I could have every reason to be up here and not be joyous, I choose to be joyful for what God is doing in me and for what He's calling me to. And though every single morning as I wake up and the shame and the guilt and the thoughts and the what was and what happened and what could have been and what should have been wakes up with you every single morning and walks with you every single day. Though every day I'm saying, you know what, God is for me. He says to me that no one will be able to stand against me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. If He's called me, He will bring me there. I am willing. I am able. So I will take one foot, because He says that wherever I set my foot, I'm stepping into the land that He has already given me. But I just need to step into it. He's given you it already. You just got to step into it. And step by step, little by little, He will lead you to the place where you will look back and you say, wow, look what God has done in me. Look what He has done in me. And I believe that if you would adopt that, if you would break off that mindset in your life and adopt this new mindset that I'm going to step into what's now, I believe, truly believe, that He will lead you to places that you never would have imagined, whether you would never have been able to work to get there, but He will do it. And He will bring it to pass. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Focus forwards. He fixed your eyes on Jesus. Take your eyes off everything else. And He will bring you there. Amen? Release our reliance. Be patient in preparation. Be focused forwards. And fourthly, and probably the most important, forgetting our failures. Forgetting our failures. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready. Because it's going to require releasing. It's going to require preparation, determination, focus, perseverance. It's going to be hard work. But believe that this is possible. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. This is an important moment in the life of Israel as we look back in this great nation and seeing how God took them out of captivity, took them out of slavery, and brought them into the promised land. But this was an important moment in determining the trajectory of where they would be as individuals, as people, as a body, as a unity. They were ready. God was ready to fulfill the promise that He gave to Moses. But here's what's important. The Israelites had been here before. Joshua had been here before. They had been at this point in their lives before, only 40 years earlier from this moment. They stood where they're standing now. They looked at the Jordan River. They looked at the land, the same place, the same opportunity to enter into the promised land, but they failed to trust God to give them victory. And so they wandered. And so they wavered. And so they spent the next 40 years of their life where the old generation had to die off before a new generation could rise up with faith and boldness. I believe we're in an important trajectory. I haven't even prepared to say this, but I believe that we're in an important moment in the history of our land where what we decide to do as a church and as the church, we're about to cross over. To step into what God has for us. And what we decide to do today as open arms will make an impact on the future generations. Because the old generation has passed away. The church in Ireland is dead that we know. It is gone. The church's hold as the establishment over our nation is gone. It is finished. So do we rely on what was? Do we go, well, I remember how it used to be? And look at our nation now. Or do we step out as the new generation and say, we're ready? We're ready with faith and boldness. And we got leaders like Joshua and Caleb, who are men of faith, who look at the giants and see nothing. Because what the enemy seems as large in our minds, it's just in our minds. For God is greater than what we face. He's greater than any obstacle that we have. And we are at an important stage in the trajectory of our nation where we can decide to hold back, be reluctant, have trepidation and hesitation, or we can say, we're going to step up here. We're going to be the church that Ireland needs, because Ireland needs Jesus. And we will be the church that he's calling us to be. We will be bold, we will be faithful, and we will see that we are leading into the land that God has for us. Because I believe that Jesus' vision for this nation, for this land, is a great vision. To see a land saved. To see our people, our kids, our next generation rise up, and they've got all the choices that they could have, all the liberality in the world, but they haven't got true freedom. But that they would have freedom in Jesus' name. Why are you with me this morning? But the Israelites missed out on this opportunity. They missed out because they couldn't trust God for victory. A difficult question to ask yourself, but how many times have you missed out on your opportunity? How many times have you missed out on seeing God's promises fulfilled because you allowed fear to determine your answer? Because you failed to trust God for victory? How many times did you talk yourself out of taking that next step and the result was you experienced failure, not where he was bringing you to? But here's the good news of the gospel of grace. That you may have failed in the past, but God is ready to give you a second chance. God is the God of second chances. And just like he did for the Israelites, he said, you failed before, but here's another opportunity. Not only does God choose to forgive us of our failures, but he chooses to forget our failures. He chooses to forget our sin. Then when he sees us as someone who's whole, someone who is pure, someone who says he loves and he cherishes. The Lord is faithful to fulfill his promise regardless of your failures. Regardless of your failures. The Lord is faithful to fulfill his promises regardless of your failures. And I just want to say, we need to remember so that we can forget. We need to remember the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. We need to remember that our sins and shortcomings have been washed away, that we serve a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and again and again and again and again. We need to remember that we are forgiven and that we are set free and that we are free to forget the failures of our past. That we can come to Jesus again and again and again and again. And we can come to Jesus today, remember what he has done for our lives, that he has truly forgiven us, that he has forgotten our sin. He says that he kicks our sin into the sea of forgetfulness, that he forgets the past. It's gone. Once you give your life to Jesus and you place your faith in him, the old you is gone, the new you is here. He says that a new life that he has for you is he's got plans and purpose for you, that his mercies are new every single morning, that you may have been a Christian for 30 years, waking up, but you need to come back to him and receive him again. You need to remember so that you can forget, because yesterday is gone. What was is finished, and what once was is dead. What is now is here. So are you ready to seize it? Are you ready to take it? To break off that mindset and to adopt a new biblical mindset? The what is now? God has called me, he has chosen me, and yesterday is gone. Today is here, the past is gone. The present is here. I pray this morning that this is something you will not only just take into your week, that it will change your mindset and change your thinking, that it will change how you think about life. That it will break thought patterns and mindsets in you, that you'll be able to adopt new things. And I want to encourage you. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed by the world. The world is going to try and conform you this week. People are going to try and tell you what to think, what you shouldn't think. People are going to have perceptions of you and views of you, that you could start viewing yourself that way. You've got a choice this week. Am I going to be conformed by the world, or am I going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind from the Word? Are you going to live by what the world says or what the Word says? If you haven't got a Bible today, we want to give you a Bible. We've got free Bibles out in the Connect area here. But I want to encourage you today, whether it's just you read Joshua 1 to 5 and you continue on, verses 5 to 8, some of the most incredible verses where he says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for I am the Lord your God, and I'll be with you for the rest of your days. Believe that, receive that today, and read over it, remind yourself. We need to remember so that we can forget, so we can step into what God has for us. Would you just close your eyes for a moment and bow your heads, and let's just take a moment in this place and in God's presence. I know there's so many of you here today, and you've entered into this place carrying your failures, carrying your sin, and Jesus wants to take that from you. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever should believe in him, by confessing their sin with their mouth and believing in their heart that Jesus is Lord, will be saved. Not saved for a few days, not saved for a season, saved for eternity. That when you pass from this place and your body is dead and it's gone, that you will be in heaven with Jesus, the promised land for forevermore. So with your head bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you just an opportunity this morning to commit your life to Jesus, to give your life to him. You may be at a place where you've been a faithful Christian for many years, but you're holding on to your failure, holding on to your sin, holding on to that bitterness, that unforgiveness. Would you just take a moment to release, to let it go, to forget your failures, to be focused forward, to release reliance, and be prepared for what God's bringing you. So everyone's head bowed and eyes closed. Today, I believe that there's many of you here today, you need to commit your life to Jesus. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. And at the end of the count of three, those of you are saying, that's me, I'm giving my life to Jesus. So I'm going to ask you, just raise your hand. And what is a simple sign of surrender? That's me. I'm in. This is the moment that I'm going to step into what God has for me. Just prepare your hearts right now. Everyone, no one is looking. This is between you and God. After one, two, three, just step out, put up your hand in where you are right now. Say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. You may put down your hand for a moment. And just in that place, just would you just repeat these words after me? Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I give you all of me. I have sin in my life. I have failed. And I need your forgiveness. Today I choose to follow you. I believe that you're for me, that you're with me, and you'll never leave me. In Jesus' name, amen.